Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. Today's Issues is the name of the program here on American Family Radio. Appreciate the I had my automobile accident and emergency surgery 3 weeks ago, last night. And
hard to believe it's been 3 weeks already.
Not for me, it's not. But anyway.
It's been a long three weeks for me.
I know. I was in the hospital for 6 days, but a lot of people sent emails, calls, cards, and I just want to thank everybody who prayed for me. I won't revisit the whole accident except to say I fell asleep at the wheel, dozed off, whatever you want to call it, just for a moment. That's all it takes. And hit the back of a truck.
18-wheeler.
And my van looked like an accordion.
I saw pictures of it, yeah. It's one of those things where you go, nobody walked away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you did.
The pictures, you say somebody died in that wreck right there.
We posted it on Facebook last week.
You did?
If folks want to look.
Yeah.
Well, we had some people notice that.
And my van, when I woke up or came to, my van was on the shoulder of the road as if somebody had placed it there. And it was on the interstate, so on I-22 over in around Hamilton, Alabama. I was coming home from Birmingham late. It wasn't really late at night, but I was. Anyway, so it was a miracle of God, and I mean that I wasn't killed or maimed, paralyzed, something.
Yeah.
I was able to walk away with, did go to the hospital, did have to have emergency surgery because I was bleeding internally.
Right.
Shall I go into the depths of where I was bleeding internally and all that stuff?
Or do you want me to skip that? This is your story.
And your show.
Well, I think at that point you start to bore people.
Yeah.
Just suffice it to say that the doctors said, Miss Wildman, talk to my wife, Allison, we're going to have to take him in and open him up and fix this problem. So, and boy, did they open me up. Mm-hmm. When I looked down after the surgery.
This was from the seatbelt.
Yeah. No, this is, injuries? I don't know. I don't know what caused it.
Yeah.
If I wouldn't have had the seatbelt on, I'd have gone.
It was a seatbelt.
Is that what it was?
That caused the internal bleeding.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the trauma of smashing into something at that speed.
Right.
But if you wouldn't have that seatbelt on, and I'm talking about with the strap over your shoulder.
Wearing it properly.
If I wouldn't have been wearing it properly, it would have been mm-hmm. a bad. You'd have been having my funeral. It'd have been a bad deal. So praise God that he spared my life and, you know, allowed me to live, to serve him another day. And ever how long I have left, we never know, do we?
Right.
Mm-hmm. We never know from one day to the next if that's our day to be, you know, confront Jesus, or not confront Jesus, but be called.
Appear before him.
Appear before him. Meet our maker, as they say. So the Bible says be prepared.
A person or two who are watching on Facebook for today's issues.
Okay.
Notice that you didn't have your brace on your hand.
My brace? I got a broken metacarpal, which was the least of my concerns.
Right.
I didn't even know what a metacarpal was. I heard it. I remember it from A&P back in college now. But it's a bone on top of your hand. But it self-heals. I had it in a stent. Is that what you call it? Splint or a stent?
Splint.
It was a stent splint.
Stent goes in your arteries.
Okay. Well, I had both of them. I had a stent splint.
You had a stent splint. Oh, well.
On my hand, and so for about 10 days. But it's healing up well, I think. So I took the brace off here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm tough.
You've had to use, but you have had to use the other hand for the remote.
The left hand, I didn't know I could do so much with. I've had to be texting with my left hand, which slows down your text. It's probably a good thing because you don't send something.
And us old folks weren't exactly speedy with our texts anyway, to begin with.
But when imagine doing everything with your opposite hand, washing your hair, brushing your teeth. Now, that's a funny story.
Now, that brushing your teeth, would that be a problem?
Look like a monkey, you know. So anyway, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's commented that I look like I'm doing.
Yeah.
Doing better, I dropped 14 pounds, even though I didn't want, you know, didn't plan. It was a great diet that I've been on. I needed to lose some weight, but
almost put the dye in diet.
I wouldn't recommend this as a weight management program, slamming into trucks 70 miles an hour. But anyway, thank the Lord God Almighty that I'm alive and well,
amen,
getting better. And so many people prayed for me, and I appreciate it. Steve Jordahl has been on a journey across America.
America. And I brought pictures. This is me wrestling a shark in California.
Steve.
And then this is me climbing the largest mountain in Colorado on 1 foot.
Steve.
Yeah.
Making just,
you see
up,
how everybody
Steve.
See that? Look closer. There you go.
You did go on a little. We had somebody ask me last week. They said, "Steve quit or go somewhere else." I said, "No, he's on vacation."
Yeah.
You went out west, which you hail from.
I did. California. I grew up in Northern California in Santa Cruz. I went out to visit my parents. Still live there. My daughter and her two sons came down from Oregon to see me.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Did you drive out there or fly?
No, I flew. And then I went to Colorado Springs, the place where I had lived for 15 years immediately prior to coming to Mississippi, and saw my son and his wife.
Awesome.
And
what a great
stayed
trip
with them.
For
yeah,
you.
It was really good.
Got to go to San Francisco Giants baseball game?
I went to a Giants baseball game, yeah. And when in Colorado, got to meet with some friends that I hadn't been in touch with for several years. So it was really, really
A great trip.
It was good. It was good to get out. But, you know, you keep thinking, because, you know, I've been in Mississippi here at American Family Radio for 2.5 years about, and you miss your friends. And I started taking, maybe it takes a while to develop deep friendships.
You haven't made any friends?
I have, but this is what I came home to. I came home yesterday. I flew home yesterday, Wednesday, and I went to church Wednesday night.
Right.
And I work with more than maybe people want to know, but on Sundays I help out with the second graders in our church.
Gotcha.
And I had more hugs from little kids, and I had more people come up to me, "Where you been? We missed you." And you know what? God
it's
is
good
really
good to be missed, isn't it?
It is. God has placed me in a really good spot. So
yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Well, we're glad
home.
You're back. Glad you had a good trip, though.
Thank you.
Welcome
Thank you.
Home. What do you got for us?
A couple things breaking this morning. Let me talk to you about a new lawsuit that has just been filed today against Mr. Donald Trump and his foundation. This is taking aim at the Donald J. Trump Foundation. It's being filed by the New York State Attorney General. And this lawsuit accuses the charity and the Trump family of sweeping violations of campaign finance laws, self-dealing, and illegal coordination with the presidential campaign. This is the latest attack on the president. Every time collusion falls apart or something else falls apart and the media is exposed as, you know, being vile and anti-Trump, they have to fall back on something else to get this guy. And this is the latest that they have decided to do. So at this point, New York has already barred the Trumps from sitting on any charitable boards in the state. And they have referred the Attorney General also sent referral letters to the Internal Revenue Service and the FEC, Federal Election Commission, for possible further actions on a federal level. It just never stops. They're going to get him.
Well,
no matter what.
But now the good news is that that New York's Attorney General is also going after with equal,
zeal.
Thank you. The Clinton Foundation. Yeah, so that's a wonderful even-handedness.
There's
going
no
on.
Hypocrisy ever in politics.
I'm just kidding, folks.
Yeah, no, that hasn't happened. So that's probably where you're going to see already. This is the lead, or it was when I last checked, at CNN and MSNBC, etc. They're all pouncing on this. Also, two Supreme Court decisions handed down today. One strikes down a Minnesota law that prohibited voters from wearing political apparel to the polls. This guy walked in with a "Don't Tread on Me" T-shirt, and Minnesota, the person who was upholding the Minnesota law said, "I'm sorry, that's a conservative message. You can't wear that at the polls." Another guy walked in with a
ID. You're talking about voters, not people who are there to work for campaigns.
No, just someone who's voting. Mm-hmm. And he comes in.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, now
that's what the Supreme Court said.
Yeah, and that's now that's typical, though, isn't it, for states? I mean, if you're going in to vote, can you wear a Make America Great Again T-shirt?
Every state has a law against actually trying to change someone's vote or talking or politicking in a certain distance from a polling place. So
right.
You cannot go in and say, hey, vote for President Trump because of this or vote for somebody else because of that. You can't do that across the board. Some states, including Minnesota, went further to say you can't have any political messages inside the polling place. And this seems to strike that down.
You mean the Supreme Court said that it's unconstitutional to prohibit a political message T-shirts being worn?
Right. It's a victory for the
First
Amendment.
I agree with the Supreme Court on that.
Yeah.
I do agree that it's a good idea, and it is law in most every state. You have to be a certain distance from the polls to proselytize.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
To campaign for a candidate or a cause. Because nobody wants these, people in your face when you're going to when you're going to vote. So I agree with that. But I'm saying because somebody's wearing a T-shirt and they're not and they're not sitting there interfering with people voting or trying to
convince them to
change. You're just walking in to vote, and you're wearing a T-shirt for your candidate or a T-shirt with a political message. I don't think you should be forbidden from being in that place, and that's what the Supreme Court said.
Well, especially because
by 7-2 vote,
this was
now. If you got a T-shirt that's too small, I would say you need to be.
But that's for other reasons. That's not for free speech reasons.
Right.
That's just
we
for
all
decorum.
Know these people who wear
that's a free buffet reason.
We all know these people who wear too small T-shirts, and they need to be kicked out.
Right. Because that's something that no one should have.
And I'm sorry, I interrupted your.
No, I was just going to say that was subjective to say that a "Don't Tread on Me" T-shirt is political.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's different than vote for Hillary or vote for Donald. You know, for Trump. Now you're getting into.
And I haven't read the decision here, and Abe isn't here to talk about it with. So I don't know how far if you can wear a vote for Trump T-shirt to the polls now. This might strike all of that down, saying, you know what, wear whatever you want as long as you're not actively telling somebody to
vote. Yeah, my instinct is the Supreme Court, the law sides on people wearing whatever shirts they want. That is, citizens wearing whatever shirts. They may not You can't have your campaign aides standing outside the polling booth with all their shirts.
Or
with 20
poll
shirts.
Workers shouldn't be,
It doesn't, I don't think it.
But if the courts start allowing government to regulate attire, then that's a dangerous road.
With the exception of T-shirts that are too tight.
Right.
We have to intervene
there.
All,
Democrats, Republicans, all of us can agree.
It's a bipartisan.
Hey, this is the place where the country comes together.
What else you got, Steve?
A second Supreme Court decision today, and I won't get too much into the weeds of this, but the court ruled that the United States does not have to look at foreign laws the way that foreign countries look at their own laws. So this has a couple legs. This would revert to when we've had criticism of liberal courts using foreign laws to come in and judge U.S. standards. But this would say that, for example, and this was a case with China, so it really will have implications for the U.S.-China relationships. This will. But this says that if a foreign law means something to China, in this case it was how they fixed the price of vitamin C that went into an animal food. If China can fix that price, the U.S. doesn't necessarily have to abide by Chinese law, which this is going to have some implications with the antitrust. Well, but a lower court had ruled and given a large award to the people who said that we do have to abide by the Chinese rule. It's a little more complicated than I have time to explain, but it's I think it's an
Don't
interesting
Don't worry,
rule.
You made it pretty complicated.
Thank you. I'm good at doing that.
It's a complicated issue as well.
I haven't had a mama and fried rice. What I have.
Yo, you what?
I thought you were ordering. Are we ordering?
Oh,
food?
No, Chinese? Huh?
Although that's probably Japanese.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It is.
By the way, is it General So's chicken or Tso's?
So, I say.
So, okay. I just wanted to know. See, I immediately go towards food. And
yeah.
I immediately have questions about it.
There's nothing wrong with that, Ed.
Yeah.
I think you're, you know, to live and let live.
Wear whatever shirt you want.
Yeah.
Eat whatever. It's not too tight.
But if you eat too much of what you just described, your T-shirt will shrink.
That's right.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
Can we talk about how much Democrats love this country? Because they just abound with love. Cory Booker was talking at a progressive
Who's
summit.
He?
He's the New Jersey senator. He's a senator from New Jersey and potential 2020 presidential candidate.
All right.
He's the one that was taking on some of President Trump's nominees because they were Christian, one of them at least. And over the weekend, he was at a summit. It's called We the People Summit.
Okay.
It's a progressive group. And this is what he said about our country. Cut one.
I'm telling you right now, if this country hasn't broken your heart, you don't love her enough. If you're not deeply disturbed by what's coming, you've got to check your own love. Some people call it patriotism. That's a fine word, but understand patriotism is love of country, and you cannot love your country unless you love your fellow countrymen and women. Love is struggle. And we know what a great leader, Frederick Douglass, says, if there is no struggle, there is no progress. And so let me tell you to all the faithful here, I'm a big believer. Before you tell me about your religion, first show it to me in how you treat other people.
Who can disagree with that?
Well, you know, I think he's exactly right. And that includes when you're grilling Secretary of State-to-be Mike Pompeo about his religious beliefs. I think you need to be tolerant.
About what he do? The guy we just heard right there?
Oh, he absolutely tore Secretary of State-to-be Mike Pompeo up over his biblical view of human sexuality.
Yep.
Really?
You would think, that was him. You would think that Mike Pompeo was the devil after Cory Booker was done with him.
Right.
Even though that was Cory Booker saying how we should treat others, and he mistreated Mike Pompeo.
Did he?
Yeah. Did he ever more? Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah. But the rest of what he said right there.
You're not going to get a lot of disagreement from people.
No.
If your heart isn't broken over the Trump administration?
I didn't hear that.
I didn't hear that. That was the very beginning.
If the country hasn't broken your heart, then you don't have the right love. It was anyway. Let me bring you something.
To me, that's one of those things where we've been talking about this over the last several days. I mean, making obvious statements. I mean, that's like saying, well, if your wife had never broken your heart, you just don't have a good relationship because close relationships, you know, iron sharpens iron. Okay, I understand that, but what is the next thing you want to say? That's what I want to hear.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of.
Love, sweet
Ed's
love.
I
want to
get
hour.
On the love train is what I want to get.
Tim's going to sing the second hour.
Make America love again.
Make America love again. And, you know, there's a lot of love going towards Chuck Schumer these days, too, because of his patriotism and everything.
Chuck Schumer?
Yes.
Crying Chuck Schumer?
Senate Minority Leader.
I want to play you something that it's a very short clip. This is what he said.
Well, what's the context of what he's talking about? Or is that in the clip?
It will remind me what the context is when I hear the clip.
Okay, go ahead.
Play the clip.
The summit was much more show than substance, what the Texans call all cattle, no hat.
Yeah, so this was talking about the Singapore summit. And, of course, you heard what he said. What do Texans say? All cattle, no hat?
This is why people from New York and up north should not try to use Southern expressions.
New York City!
Get a rope.
Because the expression is exactly the opposite. It's all hat, no cattle. So that's people who are pretending to be cowboys by wearing a hat, but they don't actually have cows. And he turned it around. And was this on the Senate floor?
Yes, it was.
It was from the Senate floor.
You know, I hope I would say this if this were a Republican doing what Chuck Schumer is doing right here. This is just so disgusting. Chuck Schumer, why don't you just say this? Instead of putting down the president and his attempts to bring peace and security to the world and get North Korea to take down their nukes, why don't you just say this? You know what? We applaud the efforts of the Trump administration to bring peace and security to people of the world by getting North Korea to take down their nukes. And anything the Democratic Party can do to foster that, we want to help with. And we will be in touch with the administration to see how that can take place.
How can we help?
How can we help? Why do you want to say what he just said? It's no good. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. They're doing no good. He's up to no good, president. You know, you can't. You know, he's all talk. And I mean, why? What does that help? You sound like you wish that the negotiations would fail, mm-hmm. and that there would be nukes in North Korea. You sound like you're in favor of that. Mm-hmm. I think that's
going to be hard to defend for the Democratic Party. To say, hey, listen, we think that what President Trump did was worthless, even though nobody really knows what will come out of this.
Right,
yet.
Not yet.
We don't know yet. So, and then
so
to,
why not be a well-wisher instead right. of a naysayer?
Right.
It's like we said earlier, and Walker yeah. said earlier. They get up every morning. The Democrats do. They see what is President Trump for? Because today we're going to announce we're against it. I saw a funny. Cartoon I sent around to you guys, and it had the cartoon was Trump cures cancer.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Maybe we can put that on our Facebook page, Walker.
Sure.
Trump cures cancer, and then beneath it was protesters saying, "I want my cancer back, Trump."
Trump is a racist.
Trump is a racist for curing cancer.
Right.
I want my cancer back.
Right. We have another cut, but we don't have time to play it. But
we don't have time.
Well, I guess. Yeah, we probably could. This is cut number two. This is how Donald Trump Jr. reacting to Cory Booker's if the country hasn't broken your heart, and it's relevant to what if the Democrat says it. If a Republican does it, they don't like it.
Anything that Trump does, he'll be against it. That's the problem with the other side. You know, if Donald Trump walked across the Hudson River to New Jersey, they'd say Trump can't swim. If he came out for oxygen, they'd hold their breath.
That's the truth. That is absolute truth. Yeah. And Chuck Schumer just proved it right there.
Yes.
And Nancy Pelosi is every day.
And embarrassed himself by reversing the actual expression that Texans use.
Yes. Yes. Actually, these people are not the loyal opposition any longer. I'm talking about the party that's not in power in the White House, which it used to be called. These people consider themselves the resistance.
Right.
And they have for day one. And they basically said, we're going to resist anything the president does, no matter how, this is me saying this now, no matter how good or how productive it may be for the whole country, if he's for it, we're against it.
And like the resistance, if they hear the love train coming, they're blowing up the bridge.
Exactly.
Like one of those World War II movies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Thank you,
awesome
Steve Jordahl.
My pleasure. Good to be back.
Walker, appreciate your contributions.
Yes, sir.
Ed, thank you.
Well, my privilege. My new CD will be out soon.
Okay.
Me singing classics.
Tomorrow, can we get a little, maybe a preview?
Inspector Gadget.
It's going to outsell his old CD because I'm going to buy one for a dog, so he's going to sell two instead of just one.
So it'll be for high-pitched.
That's right.
It'll be in high-pitched. Thank you, Brent. See you next time, folks. Have a great day.